Scripture reading today comes from the New Testament letter to the Hebrews. We have been looking at Hebrews in various selections over the past few weeks. Listen for the Word of God as it comes to us today through Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 and 15 and 16. Listen for the Word of the Lord. Keep on loving one another like family. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels unaware. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, because God said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Practice makes perfect. You see that just looking out on the street where these days you're going to see runners from the cross country team running all over the place. They're practicing. Or you go to the football, you'll go past the football stadium and see the football team practicing. Or you stand out on your back porch in the evenings and you are, no matter where you are in Lincoln, probably going to hear some high school band practicing off in the distance. Practice makes perfect. It really does, doesn't it? Matters that you practice. The same thing applies to Christian faith. It's not just that you are a Christian, it's that we practice being Christians. In fact, I'm not so sure that we should claim to be Christians as much as we ought to say, "I'm practicing to become one." Wasn't it Gandhi who, when asked if he thought Christianity was a good idea, said he thought it might be a good idea? We're practicing to become Christians. It's a more humble way of recognizing that it's always a journey into this life of love. We practice our faith. We do so by worship, by prayer, by singing. We practice our faith when we study together, when we do mission projects. We practice being generous in order to become generous people. And we live in community. Being part of a church, is part of a Christian practice that helps us to grow in that love of God. How do you embody the body of Christ? Well, we do it in this incubator called church. This incubator that helps us to grow and to flourish as people of faith. The book of Hebrews gives us this wonderful metaphor. It says, keep on loving one another like family. That's the challenge. That's the invitation. That's the charge to the church. Keep on loving one another like family. Now, you and I know that there's a lot of families out there, and we might be inclined to say, okay, love each other like which family? Poe Bronson is an author and a researcher. He's written a marvelous book that I enjoy very much. It's about families. And by the way, the title of the book is, Why Do We Love These People? Great title. He studies about 20 different families over a long period of time in different cultures, different parts of the world, to try to deeply understand how families exist together. And he does so with many families who have gone through some sort of great hardship, but have managed to hang on and be family together. He says he heard a theme that came through so many of these different families in the interview that he did. He said, it was some version of this phrase, I was not fully taught what love is. I was not fully taught what love is. That was their experience in family. That we're taught in part, and some, of course, may be taught more than others, but we all only begin with parts, and the rest we have to learn along the way. We learn about love in family on a journey. And so it is, this morning I reflect on family and the church as a family. Think about how we can be this loving family that the book of Hebrews invites us to live into. We struggle to learn. We struggle to learn it for ourselves. And part of what we learn about love and family is from the people around us. There's people that inspire us because they are so loving. There may be some people that somehow inspire us because they're the opposite. And we come to see what it is to not love. We learn by watching and living and talking with one another. It matters that there are people around us who will talk with us about it and help us to grow in this sense of what family is. Sometimes it's hard to learn to love. It's hard to learn to love, and so we have a tendency to want to escape into a fantasy world and say, oh, there used to be a time when it was easy to be family. Depending on how old you are, you'll say those idyllic times of yesterday when it was easy to be family were in the 1980s, the 1960s, or the 1950s or 40s, okay? But the truth of the matter is, it's always been hard to be family. There have always been struggles with time, money, struggles with commitment and character. There have been historic tragedies and personal tragedies. No time has it ever been an easy time to be family. Every generation has to learn anew what it means to love one another like family. It's a challenge because families bicker, family members hold grudges, family members sometimes take a few years off, families have strained relationships. Those are just a few of the myriad of problems that families face, but the bottom line is not, does your family have problems? The bottom line is, are you willing to deal with them in ways that allow you to survive and hopefully someday to thrive? It's the struggle. It's the struggle where character is formed. That's what makes you who you are, by choosing firmly to be who you're called to be and to practice the ways of love in the midst of the struggle. That's part of what gives you strength. We practice love among different people in different times and places, and we discover what love looks like here and now, what love looks like in this family, what love looks like in this church. It's a process of struggle, strength, courage, determination. It's a process of learning what love is. And some things cannot be rushed. I was fascinated in that book I mentioned earlier by that author that his talking with these families revealed that some of the challenges that they had didn't just take weeks or months to heal, but sometimes it took years or decades or even generations love was embodied as people kept in the struggle, stayed in relationship, because love never gives up. Love is something that we search for, seek, work for, and have the strength to embody. Jesus said, love your enemies. But I think the book of Hebrews points us to the fact that it may be harder sometimes to love our families. The enemy you only have to forgive once, but the family, well, there you have to learn to forgive every day. A spouse, a child, a brother, a friend, they're all there, and all of them can become a sense of family for you, but they're not necessarily obviously so. What it takes is one person deciding that they're going to bond with another person and that this person is going to be family for them. And that's where that spouse, that child, that brother, sister, that friend can become family. And if you put your energy there, it will breathe new life into the whole sense of what family means. And if you find that strength, that bond, that love together, you never again lose the sense of what family is all about. What does it mean to be family? A family is a place where they are happy that you simply are. A family is a place where it matters that you exist. They relish your being there, that you are alive. Family is a place where when you have something to celebrate, you have someone who's going to look forward to hearing what you have to say. They look forward to hearing about your everyday life. Family are the people who remember those who matter. Family is where you remember the stories. Families remember the place, the people where you remember the things that happened long ago, and you share these stories. You lift up the stories. You embrace the values that have happened there, and you have this sense of warmth, and you feel it again because you've shared the story. That's what families do. And families are the place where you remember people who have passed on. Family are the people who have shared your grief, those who have been able to commune with you in pain. The church is a family who shares the grief and communes with the pain, but also who shares a faith that the end is just the beginning and that God's love never ends. Families are those people who remember all of that, and when they hear a loved one's name, maybe they remember a story, maybe they just say a word, maybe they just nod knowingly, because they do know and they care. That's family. Family are the people from whom you learn loyalty. You learn loyalty because amidst all the people in our lives that come and go, people that have ruffled your feathers or disappointed you or hurt you, family are the people who stay. Family are the people where you learn that loyalty and you remember that as God is loyal to us, we can be loyal to one another. And so in the family of the church, we stick together because we're practicing that loyalty, which is one dimension of love that helps us to experience what God is about in our lives. Family is where you learn to forgive. You learn that holding on to anger is poisonous. Family is where you learn to work through problems, where you learn to forgive, and you learn that none of us is perfect. And so in family, we learn to negotiate life as we begin to openly, honestly communicate with one another, and we find ways to do more than live together, we find ways to thrive together because we've worked through things together and we trust one another. Family. In the family of God, well, God has all these strange relatives, right? like me, and maybe you. But God invites all of us into this family to share the family meal, to share the family celebration, because the party just would not be the same without you. Family is where you learn to accept one another. Family is the place where having tried for years and years and years to change your brother or sister or mother or father or son or daughter, family's the place where you finally stop trying to change them and you step back and just say, we're all created in the image of God. Look at the wonder that God has created in this person. You come to see who they are. Family is a place where we practice recognizing the image of God and see through eyes of amazement the gift that we have been given in all these strange relatives. And family, by the way, is a metaphor, right? You know, like Pirates of the Caribbean, where Captain Barbossa and Captain Jack Sparrow had gone around saying, stick to the pirate code, stick to the pirate code. And then finally, when they're pushed and it's not going to work, they say, well, it's more like a guideline than actual rules. Let me say this. Family is not a law. So when it says, treat one another like family in the Bible, It's not a law, it's a guideline rather than a rule. There's a limit to some metaphors. And sometimes a family is irreparably broken. Some family relationships are not going to be salvaged, no matter how hard you try. Some sort of division has to happen. Sometimes that is the only way forward. To have the good life that God intends for us. And that happens to families too. But that's when the church makes even more sense. Because the church comes together to form this ever new family. Where people who have been broken come to experience anew the healing and the love, the growth, the gratitude, the grace, the amazement, joy, the celebration, the deep meaning, the faith, hope, and love that God intends. And so you see in the book of Hebrews that it starts out talking about family, saying love one another like family, and then it goes on to say, and welcome the stranger, because in doing so, some of you have entertained angels unaware. In other words, keep on widening the circle of those people that you consider as family in the church. Find newcomers and embrace them. People you don't know, people that don't think like you, talk like you, look like you. Find them and make them part of the people whom you treat as family. And then all of a sudden you discover in all the diversity, your family has just grown and your sense of family has just made for a wider world. It goes on to say, and on all this list that Hebrew gives, that you practice love in your church family, you're going to find this growth that happens. Make your marriages stable so that it can be firm, but open up your arms to people in prison, because some of your people may be in prison, and there may be some people in prison that need you to be their family. It goes on to give all these creative ways to help us begin to spark our imagination and think about how do we be family together. It's a practice. We started this sermon talking about practice makes perfect, and that's what I want to have us think about in relationship to family. This is an incredibly loving church. I think that's one of the strengths of Westminster. It has been such a loving church. It is such a loving church. It's got this long history there. But the question is, can you ever be too loving? The session's thinking about this. You took a survey, a great many of you, last spring that reflected some of the things that you experienced here at Westminster. And we realized, we're coming to realize, and we're talking about it at our session meetings, that not only do we have this history of being loving and have all these loving relationships, but we also have a hunger for more, a hunger for deeper relationships, more friendships, to grow in our grace together, to come to know one another, to learn about one another more, to care about one another, to discover one another. We're not exactly sure where we're going to go with this, but I want you to know we're talking about it, trying to discover and discern and learn together. How do we reach out to grow in our friendships together? We need to make this a goal for every member to develop at least one new friend this year, and if possible, to reach out and to embrace more. What does that look like? For some people, it might be that you join a choir or a music group. That's one way, one good way. For some people, it's joining some sort of mission group or mission experience, because there's nothing that will bond you together quite like picking up a hammer with a bunch of other people wielding a hammer and building something that's going to change somebody's life. For some people, it's the wrestling with heady ideas in study groups. That's another place where you can discover friendships. And small groups, we want to have another push on that this year to help expand our sense of friendships there. But the bottom line is that each of us needs to make a goal for themselves of saying, I want to grow in my friendships at Westminster. I want to grow in reaching out to somebody, taking the risk, and finding ways to connect with somebody in those deep ways. I think a good test for completing this is one of the things that Emily Killam, who's been leading us in our process with the session, said. She says, it isn't just that you vaguely know somebody's name. It's rather when something good happens to you, you can't wait to tell them about it. And that's a nice touchstone for recognizing that you have made a friend. Someone to celebrate life with, a sense of community, warmth, a sense of family. That's what we're after. And to recognize that this is part of our expectation of ourselves as Christians, to grow in faith, to grow in that sense of loving one another like family. It's a dimension of faith whose fruits we hunger for. To widen our circle, to embrace, to love in new ways. Now, how are we going to do this? I'm not sure. You know, it's a metaphor. It's there to engage our creative processes. We need to dream together and talk together about this. It's not a rule. It's an inspiration to grow into that sense of being family together. What does it look like? Well, you know, I don't know, but I know, like Rick says at the end of Casablanca to Captain Renault, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Like Indiana Jones says in all of his movies, we're making this up as we go along. Like Swiss Family Robinson, we're building a home on an island out of whatever scraps we have at hand, but by the time we're done, it's going to be something amazing. And like Dorothy says at the end of The Wizard of Oz, there's no place like church. Because our church is our family. It is this new family, this new creation in Christ, in which we seek to learn what it means to expand that sense of love, the love of God, that happens as we love one another like family. I look forward to the journey with you. Amen.